So at the end, I would say late season nitrogen fertilization has emerged as an alternative to improve soybean seed protein concentration. But at this moment, I would say late season nitrogen fertilization should be used very cautiously as a short-term alternatives until we find more sustainable and more effective approach. So ultimately, at the end, improving soybeans' biological nitrogen fixing ability with breeding biotechnology and improved cropping system and crop management practices should be our ultimate long-term goal.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. A robust return on your sorghum investment is not just a dream. Learn more at doubleteamsorghum.com. KWS Hybrid Rye, seeding the future since 1856.
Welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Leo Bastos, Assistant Professor of Integrative Precision Agriculture at the University of Georgia. Today, we welcome our guest, Dr. Anuj Thilawal. He's an Assistant Professor of Agronomy at Kentucky State University. Anuj, welcome to the Crop Science Podcast Show. It's great to have you here with us today. And to get us started, could you share with us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today?
First of all, thank you, Leo, for hosting me. I appreciate the opportunity. Let me start from the beginning. I was born and raised in Nepal, where I completed my undergraduate degree in agriculture. And after that, I worked in agriculture extension sector for a few years. And then I joined Fort Valley State University here at Fort Valley, Georgia, for my master's degree. And there I worked with multiple bioenergy crops, such as energy cane, Napier grass, sweet sorghum, and forage sorghum. We conducted agronomic and soil science research to identify its optimal plant spacing, harvesting time, cover crop, and nutrient management to improve sustainable bioenergy cropping system in southeastern U.S. And after that, I joined Kansas State University for my PhD degree in agronomy. And then and there I worked with grain sorghum. I conducted several agronomic abiotic stress physiology, remote sensing, and quantitative genetic research across field and control environment facilities to improve multiple abiotic stress tolerance in grain sorghum, such as early stage cold tolerance and post flowering heat and drought stress tolerance. And after that, I joined University of Kentucky as a postdoc. And there I conducted agronomic and seed physiology research on soybean to improve soybean yield and seed composition. And then I joined University of Florida, and there I worked with industrial hemp. And there we conducted agronomic and remote sensing studies to identify some suitable hemp cultivars for Florida's environment, and also to optimize hemp cultivation practices for that location, such as its ideal planting rates, plant spacing, and nutrient management. And after that, I also worked very briefly at Florida Sugarcane League, where I was involved in sugarcane breeding and cultivar development program to develop superior cultivars for Florida sugarcane industry. And after that, back in 2022, like almost 3 years back, I joined this current position here at Kentucky State University as an assistant professor of agronomy. And here, like I have been conducting several studies on soybean. Basically, we are conducting several studies to identify the optimal planting dates for different maturity group soybean cultivars, and also like similarly, we are also conducting some studies to understand soybean growth, soybean seed growth and composition dynamics under different assimilate supply and condition. And similarly, I am also integrating drone-based aerial phenotyping in my research program with the goal of identifying the ideal aerial phenotyping sensors, ideal aerial phenotyping indices, and also the time of aerial phenotyping to measure soybean growth of physiology and yield prediction. And similarly, the last but definitely not the least, we are also working to see if we can improve soybean seed protein concentration because there is a constant decline in soybean seed protein concentration over the years here in the US. So we are trying to see if we can address that issue. So that is the very brief overview about my past and current research activities.
That's fantastic. That's a very rich path, right? Very cool experiences with different crops, different regions, different technologies. So definitely very amazing path that you had. And I also was, you know, I guess I just learned now that we actually been to a few places that we share similarities. I was also at K-State for some time. And of course, being Georgia, and you studied at Fort Valley. That's really cool. We have to follow up on that after the episode. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So I want us to pivot into one of the directions that you are working with, and more specifically, soybean protein concentration. So the first thing I want to ask you is, should growers worry about soybean quality, especially when it comes to when it's related to soybean protein concentration? And I'm guessing you're going to say yes. And so I want to, you know, if you could explain to us a little bit of why should growers worry about this topic?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. So, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, so there is a decline in soybean seed protein concentration, right? So why it is like, is it like really a major issue for soybean farmers or soybean industry, right? So that is your question, right? So let me start with the status of the soybean yield and seed protein concentration trend in the US. So if you look at the soybean yield over the last few decades, the soybean yield in the US is increasing. There is a continuous increase in soybean yield over the years, thanks to the development of high yielding varieties and improved crop cultivation and management practices, right? But during the same time, if you look at the seed protein concentration, it is actually decreasing. There is a constant decline in soybean seed protein concentration over the years, and which has actually become one of the concern for US soybean industry. And so why it is a concern, why the decreasing soybean seed protein concentration is one of the concern? Because as we all know, right, soybean is one of the very important crop in the US. In fact, US is the second largest exporter of soybean in the world. So soybean meal is commonly used in most of the poultry and livestock farm here at US and also all around the world. So why is soybean meal is so popular? Because it contains very high amount of protein and amino acids, right? So that's why soybean meal is very popular all around the world, including the US. So soybean meal is basically the byproduct after the oil extraction from the soybean seed. So first of all, we extract oil from the soybean seed, and the remaining byproduct we use to prepare the soybean meal for the animal feed. So that soybean meal should contain at least 44% protein concentration to meet the good quality animal feed requirement, which is set by U.S. National Oilseed Processor Association. And to achieve that 44% milk protein concentration level, the whole soybean or the harvested soybean seed should contain at least 34% seed protein concentration. To some extent, it also depends on like oil concentration in the seed. But looking at the current oil concentration level in the US soybean seed, basically, like our whole soybean seed should contain at least 34% protein concentration to meet that 44% milk protein concentration requirement to be considered the high quality animal feed. But as I mentioned earlier also, right, so there is a constant decline in soybean seed protein concentration over the years in the U.S. And because of that, the soybean meal produced in some U.S. location is struggling to meet that requirement. And if this trend continues, if the declining soybean seed protein concentration trend continues, it's going to be a problem in many other U.S. locations. So that's why it is like one of the concern for the U.S. Soybean industry.
Perfect. And so just to understand a little bit, so currently, at least soybean growers at large get paid by yield, right? And not necessarily by the quality as well. Do you think that at some point that's going to change? Or will growers start receiving premiums or perhaps discounts based on that protein level?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. So far, right now, like as you mentioned, so all the soybean farmers, so they are getting the price based on the yield. So soybean seed protein concentration is not considered in the price of the soybean. But basically, why is that? Because most of the soybean produced in the U.S. still meets that basic requirement. Only in few states, especially in the northern states, there is some concern recently. So, and that's why the quality soybean seed protein concentration and those things is not considered in the price right now. But if the trend continues, if the trend of declining soybean seed protein concentration trend continues, then it's going to be a like problem in like in the recent future all over the nation. And so that's why I think it's the time to address that like situations, because if you compare like soybean seed protein concentration back in like 1986 compared to now, it's like soybean seed protein concentration has already declined by 2%. So far, like we are good, like in most of the states, only in some few states there is a problem. And so far, like protein concentration is not like it's incorporated on the like the price, but in the future, it might be the concern. And so I think that's why like we are trying to advocate that issue, and we are trying to see like we need to like address this problem urgently.
You know, I want to follow that up with. If you could share with us that understanding of what's been the trend for soybean protein concentration outside of the U.S., right? So we know that the U.S. is competing with Brazil, Argentina, and other countries that are also producing and exporting a lot of soybeans. Are those trends, do you have that information as far as if those trends are also happening in those other countries to the same extent as in the U.S.?
So here in the U.S., so we have that U.S. Quality report every year. So we have all that information from long back. But I'm not sure if other soybean producing nations, especially Brazil and Argentina, they have those quality reports available. But what I can say that so far, U.S. soybean meal is highly competitive in the global feed market. I was looking at one of the studies, so and when they are comparing the soybean seed protein concentration between U.S., Brazil, and Argentina. So far, I think the our soybean seed protein concentration is a little bit below than Brazil, but higher than Argentina. But I think the our soybean seed meal is better. It's better in amino acid composition compared to the Brazil. So right now, I think we are we don't have to be panic at this moment. Our soybean meal is, I think, still highly competitive in the global feed market.
Perfect. It's so interesting because it's not just the percentage of protein, but also what amino acids make up that protein, right? So it's it's a really interesting, complex topic. Mm-hmm. So let's say if a grower that is growing soybeans is listening to this podcast and they're thinking, okay, maybe they're in a region where soybean concentration has already been declining a little bit faster and they're worried about that. What would be your recommendation for a grower that is thinking about it and is trying to mitigate that? So in other words, a grower that's trying to increase their soybean seed concentration, soybean seed protein concentration, perhaps through genetics or management practices, what would you recommend for a grower that is looking for solutions?
So first of all, we need to understand why the soybean seed protein concentration is decreasing, right? So for that, we need to like understand the mechanism why the yield is increasing, but acid protein concentration is decreasing, right? So the yield is, soybean yield is increasing because the varieties that the farmers are growing currently, it is producing like more number of seeds, it's bigger seeds. So that's why the soybean yield is increasing, right? At the same time, sweet protein concentration is decreasing, which means that nitrogen assimilation rate in the seed is lower than other seed component, right? So mainly nitrogen assimilation is not able to keep up with the carbon assimilation rate in the seeds, right? So which basically indicates that there is nitrogen limitation in the soybean seed. So the nitrogen limitation during the seed filling phase is the major reason why soybean seed protein concentration is decreasing. So why there is a nitrogen limitation in soybean? So let's try to understand, you know, like the reason about the nitrogen limitation, right? So you all know, right? Soybean is a leguminous crop, right? So which means it has ability to capture the freely available nitrogen that is present in the ear through the process called biological nitrogen fixation, right? So most of the nitrogen needs in soybean comes from biological nitrogen fixation. So that's why we do not generally recommend nitrogen fertilization in soybean field, right? Because biological nitrogen fixation is the most efficient source of nitrogen, right? But as I mentioned earlier, due to the constant decline in soybean seed protein concentration, right? So that's why the soybean seed protein concentration is decreasing. So we need to address that nitrogen limitation problem, right? So the way to address that nitrogen limitation problem for the farmers is to provide supplemental nitrogen, to provide additional nitrogen during the seed filling phase. And if you can do that, if the farmers can do that supplemental nitrogen product like during the seed filling phase, it can help avoid that nitrogen limitation and it can improve the soybean seed protein concentration. So that is the solution right now to address the declining soybean seed protein concentration.
And so within your research and the studies you've been conducting, perhaps what are some of the topics related to nitrogen management that you're looking into to create more understanding around this topic?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, so there is a constant decline in soybean seed protein concentration, right? So let me give you some status of recent development in this research area. So far we know that there is a nitrogen limitation during the seed filling phase in soybean. So previous studies, including our past and our ongoing studies, we have showed that if you can provide additional nitrogen during the seed filling phase, we can avoid that nitrogen limitation problem and we can increase protein concentration in soybean. But we don't exactly know the optimal or ideal nitrogen fertilization dose. So why? Because most of the studies, including our studies, we have used very high dose of nitrogen fertilization. Why? Because first of all, it is very like obvious research practice, right? First of all, we want to know if the treatment really works or not, right? So at the beginning, we try to use extreme treatment level, right? So for example, in this case, very high level of nitrogen fertilization.
Like what do you mean by high? How much is high in this case?
So far, like because we are still in the beginning stage, we are trying to use unlimited nitrogen supply. So some of the studies, they have used 500 kg per hectare. Some of the studies like 600, we have used like 200 kg nitrogen per hectare. So just to understand if the treatment works or not, right? So that is the stage of late season nitrogen fertilization right now. So the next step is obviously to identify the optimal dose, right? Or that ideal dose. So that's where my studies are undergoing. We are trying to identify that optimal dose of nitrogen fertilization. We are testing different dose of late season nitrogen fertilization. So the goal is to identify that optimal dose of nitrogen fertilizer, which is economically, environmentally, is a more effective way, right? And similarly, like on the same related note, we are also conducting studies to identify the optimal time of late season nitrogen fertilizer application. Because it is not feasible or it is not like practical by the farmers to provide late season nitrogen fertilization multiple times during the field, right? Especially we are talking about late season nitrogen fertilization, which needs to be applied when the crops are already growing in the field, right? So that's why we're also working to identify that particular growth stages in soybean, which can be targeted with a late season nitrogen fertilization to improve soybean seed protein concentration more effectively. So basically, we are conducting studies to optimize late season nitrogen fertilization dose and late season nitrogen fertilization timing to effectively improve soybean seed protein concentration. So basically, the continuation of what we have been doing for years, setting up new experiment based on the past studies, just try to understand the problem of declining soybean seed protein concentration problem and try to identify the some solution to address that issues.
Perfect. And something I wanted to ask you as well is, I would imagine that both rate and timing of inorganic fertilizer are going to have an impact also on biological nitrogen fixation, right? We know that there is this trade-off between how much biological nitrogen fixation is happening in relation to how much nitrogen is available at the soil. So how, do you already have some results around that? And if you could speak about that trade-off, is the goal here to apply inorganic fertilizer to basically replace the entire nitrogen supply, or is it more to complement and work together with biological nitrogen fixation at those timings that you apply inorganic fertilizer?
I think that's a very good question. I'm glad you brought it up. First of all, we need to acknowledge that nitrogen fertilization in soybean may not be a sustainable approach. Because if the plants get easy nitrogen from fertilizer sources, it does not want to spend its energy on biological nitrogen fixation, right? So there is always a risk that nitrogen fertilization can suppress biological nitrogen fixation. So far, we know that early season nitrogen fertilization can suppress biological nitrogen fixation. So the early season nitrogen fertilization or nitrogen application during the vegetative stage is not economically or environmentally, it's not a sustainable way, right? Now let's talk about late season nitrogen fertilization. So late season nitrogen fertilization, as I mentioned earlier, it is a recently used practice to address that declining soybean seed protein concentration, right? So we don't exactly know its effect on biological nitrogen fixation. One of the hypotheses regarding late season nitrogen fertilization is that because soybean plants need a lot of nitrogen during the seed filling phase, right? So if you provide additional nitrogen, if you provide supplemental nitrogen during that stage, it would actually complement with a biological nitrogen fixation to meet that high nitrogen demand. So that is one of the hypotheses, but definitely we need to test that hypothesis, right? Before recommending these practices to the farmer's field, right? So the ultimate goal is to see if you can provide additional nitrogen, if you can provide supplemental nitrogen, which can increase soybean seed protein concentration without significantly affecting its biological nitrogen fixation. Because biological nitrogen fixation is the most efficient source of nitrogen fertilization. So that's the status of late season nitrogen fertilization. We are at the beginning stage, and we need to work a lot to provide some concrete recommendation to the farmers.
Perfect. Well, we may need to record another episode in a couple of years to talk about those results then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Anuj. That was a really, really interesting explanation here. So thanks for expanding on that. And is there anything else that you would like to add or share with us about nitrogen and soybeans?
Yeah, I think I talked a lot about the need of late season nitrogen fertilization and some of its potential negative effect on biological nitrogen fixation, right? But I also wanted to mention that there may be potentially other more sustainable or more effective approach to improve soybean seed protein concentration. The first one I see is developing soybeans with improved biological nitrogen fixing ability. So when you talk about biological nitrogen fixation, the roots and root nodules, they are very important, right? They play a very important role in biological nitrogen fixation. So one of the approaches I see is to see if you can develop varieties with improved root structure and improved root architecture to see if it can improve soybean's biological nitrogen fixation to address that nitrogen limitation problem in the field, right? So another approaches I see is to see if you can identify some improved cropping system and crop management practices which can provide like more nitrogen supply to the soybean plants. So far, we know that cultural practices can affect seed composition, soybean seed composition, especially protein and oil concentration, right? So if you can identify some cultural practices which can improve nitrogen availability to the plants, so that would definitely be more sustainable approach than nitrogen fertilization, right? So we are also working some experiments along those lines. For example, we are testing the effect of different planting dates on soybean seed composition, protein concentration, and oil concentration. Similarly, in the past, we have also tested supplemental inoculant application. I mean, applying more nitrogen-fixing bacteria into the soil during the crop growing season to see if it can improve soybean biological nitrogen fixation. And right now, also currently, we are testing some soil amendment, for example, biochar, to see if it can improve soybean's biological nitrogen fixation ability. So, so far, we have seen some promising results, but the results are not always consistent to recommend any of these cultural practices to improve soybean seed protein concentration. But I believe other researchers are also working along those lines, and the goal is to see if we can identify those cultural practices which can improve nitrogen availability to the soybean and to address this declining soybean seed protein concentration trend in the soybean, right? So these are some of the things I just wanted to mention, some more effective approach, some more sustainable approach than late season nitrogen fertilization. So at the end, I would say late season nitrogen fertilization has emerged as an alternative to improve soybean seed protein concentration. But at this moment, I would say late season nitrogen fertilization should be used very cautiously as a short-term alternatives until we find more sustainable and more effective approach. So ultimately, at the end, improving soybean's biological nitrogen fixing ability with breeding biotechnology and improved cropping system and crop management practices should be our ultimate long-term goal.
Perfect. So many, many potential tools available to meet that nitrogen requirement, not simply just from nitrogen fertilizer, but also, as you said, management practices, different cultivars, more applications of inoculant and so on. So that's really, really important.
Yeah, we are also we are also testing other cultural practices also, not only late season nitrogen fertilizer. We are also testing some cultural practices. So one of the things I see, like I think the, especially, you know, the roots, generally roots they get like less priority, right? Less attention compared to the above ground plant component, which may also have been the case in soybean breeding program, right? So if you can focus more on like improving root and the restructure of those things, I think it might help improve soybean biological nitrogen fixation, and that would definitely be like more sustainable approach compared to other nitrogen fertilizer practices. And because this trend of declining soybean concentration has, you know, like recently got a lot of attention, I think soybean breeders are also working along those lines to definitely improve soybean spiles and nitrogen fixation, right? Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you for expanding on that. And well, if you're listening to this episode and you're enjoying this conversation as much as I am, make sure to drop us a like, follow us on whichever platform you're listening to this episode, and also share this with anyone you think may also benefit from this great conversation about nitrogen management in soybeans for improved soybean protein concentration.
It's time for our famous three.
All right. So, Anous, we're getting towards the end of our episode where we ask all of our guests the same three questions. So we're going to get started with that right now. Our first question here is, do you have any resource that is from the technical agronomic side that you found very useful and that you would like to share with us here?
Yeah, there is a like website called agphd.com. They also have like YouTube channels and also radio and TV shows. So if you search agphd on the internet, you should be able to find the resources. They have very nice resources, and I really like their content. I have actually used some of their videos in my agronomy classes as well. So their platform has, you know, like a lot of technical and practical information related to diverse area of agriculture. I think it is really useful resources for agricultural professional like us.
Nice, nice. That's great. I think I have heard of them, but I have not checked out their content. So that's a good recommendation. I'll add here to my list for sure. All right. So our second question here is pretty much the same. So if you have a resource to share with us, but outside of the agronomic area, so something, more or just non-technical overall.
Yeah, I think there is a book called How Learning Works. Here is a book. I just wanted to show this to the audience. So as you can see here, they have like five authors. So I'm not going to read all the author's name. But if you search How Learning Works, then you should be able to find this book. So this book discusses eight research-based principles for smart teaching. So one of the faculty here at Kentucky State University shared this book to us in one of our school meeting. And I find this book very interesting and very useful. This book discusses a lot of strategies to solve some of the very common learning and teaching problems. So yeah, I think I recommend reading this book.
Nice, nice. Thanks for sharing that. I also teach some courses here at UGA, and I'm always looking for ideas of how to improve my teaching and also my learning, right? We're always learning. So definitely that's a great recommendation. Thanks for sharing that. All right. So our last question here is, in your opinion, your experience, what types of skills or skill set have you observed in successful professionals?
For the person like me who is involved in research, right, who has a research appointment, I think the patience or the determination, I think it is very important skill. Especially while doing agriculture research, you have to be like very patient, right? For example, we need to do like multiple years of field experiments for any definitive conclusion to recommend anything to the farmers. Similarly, some of the experiments may not go the way you wanted, right? Due to like several factors. For example, let's say erratic climatic pattern, right? Some extreme climate events, right? And similarly, also we have to deal with a lot of confounding factors in the field research. So I would say patience or motivation or determination is one of the skills you must have to be successful in research, especially in agricultural research.
Nice. That's very true. I totally agree with that as well. All right. Well, that wraps up our episode. Anous, thank you so much for having here with us today. I really, really enjoyed our conversation and learned a lot of new things with you about managing nitrogen in soybeans. So thank you so much. And it was great having you here today.
Yeah. Thank you, Leo, for the opportunity. It was very nice talking with you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.